News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. So going to the phones right now with my friend Matt Clark. Matt is the president of the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. He has a degree from Liberty University, his law degree also, and also is, by the way, experienced in having worked with the Alabama Supreme Court. Now heads up the Center for Law and Liberty, defending matters of what I would call special interest, not special interest groups, but special interests such as constitutional rights and the ability of citizens to seek redress against their government. So without further ado, let me bring on my friend Matt Clark. Matt, how you doing, bud?
Pretty good, Phil. After the Supreme Court's decisions over the last 7 days, I am flying high. It's a great day for America, for the Constitution, and for civil rights. So I am doing really well. How are you?
Man, you are so right, and I agree. And I spent some time earlier. We talked on another radio show when I was co-hosting down in Mobile. You were there. And by the way, I think you've been making the rounds today, haven't you? How many interviews have you done today?
Let's see. Did your show in Mobile? Did Andrea Tice's thing for the Daily Detail, doing this again, and then I was on one other in the Montgomery area with Caleb Colquitt. So, yeah, what is that, four? something like that. It's pretty good.
You've been on the air almost as much as I have today. That's pretty good. Well, listen, man, this has been some more kind of a week for conservatives in the area of jurisprudence. I mean, we've had – it's more than just abortion law. It's been the Second Amendment. It's been freedom of religion. It's been, you know, the ability to see your kids go to the school of your choice, regardless of whether your tax dollars are paying for a Christian school or a secular school. So much has come out in the last 7 days. I thought, you know what, who better to give us the rundown, the buffet, if you will, of choices to look at than Matt Clark. So why don't you just take it from the top and tell us what's on your plate?
Well, thanks, Phil. I think there are about four cases here to talk about, and you've hit on all of them. So I'll start with the biggest, which is overruling Roe v. Wade. The name of that case is Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. And I think evangelical Christians in particular, like myself and like you, have really been motivated to get in the constitutional law fight because of Roe. For a long time, I think evangelicals in particular sat by on the sidelines as the legal industry did its thing. But when the Supreme Court of the United States came out saying, the Constitution protects your right to kill a child pretty much for any reason during the first trimester, maybe not during the second, but definitely not the third, unless it's necessary to save the life or health of the mother. That's the point where we woke up. We said, we got to do something. I think our Catholic friends have long since been involved in trying to fight off that stuff, and we finally joined their ranks. But anyway, for a lot of Bible-believing Christians, for a lot of constitutional conservatives, and a lot of people that simply believe that an unborn child is a human being with a right to live, this is the most beautiful day in the United States Supreme Court's history, because it finally returns to the states the right to protect life. And because of that, unborn children are finally going to have a fighting chance. So in my opinion, in the Supreme Court's entire history, from the founding era up until now, the decision Friday reversing Roe was the Supreme Court's greatest decision of all time. And I have not stopped thanking God for it.
Well, that's what a great perspective, and you are so correct. And what's amazing too, it just kind of occurs to me right now, since the Supreme Court actually entered their opinion firmly and decisively by saying that Roe and Casey are overturned and the matter has been handed back to the people and their elected representatives, that means it's a legislative matter, which in essence too also affirms the 10th Amendment of states' rights for self-determination.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. So it's a big win for federalism as well. So there are two questions there that are related but separate. The first is whether the Constitution protects the right to an abortion, and the answer is clearly no. It is not in the Constitution. It can't be deduced from the text of the Constitution, and the historical analysis does not support that there was ever a right to abortion in the Constitution. So, once Roe gets overruled, then presumptively under the 10th Amendment, it means that, the matters not delegated to the federal government are left to the states and to the people to decide. So So, you know, we have this mindset that the federal government should solve everything. And the 10th Amendment actually turns that on its head. It said, no, there are certain matters that have been delegated to the federal government, but the states get to decide the rest. So by default, it goes back to the states. Now, there is an argument out there that the Constitution might require the opposite of Roe. But you got to go an extra step in order to get there. But the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause says that no state may deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. So if unborn children are people, which they are, then the Constitution says you can't protect everybody from murder except them. Just as like back in the 1860s when there were the Black Codes, the federal government came along and said, look, you can't single out Black people and give them less protection than everybody else has. Well, in the same way, in 2022, you can't single out unborn people and say everybody's protected from murder except them. So I think there's a good case to be made. It's going to be a while before we get there. But in the meantime, this federalism solution that we have is a heck of a lot better than having mass murder rammed down the throats of the states without their consent.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, all right. Listen, as much as I want to keep talking about that case because of just how amazing it is and how satisfying it is, there were other things that came out this past week. I mean, even up to today, there have been opinions handed down by the Supremes that have just literally changed the face of the law in favor of conservative causes. So hit us with another one.
Agreed. So this morning, there's a really big case in Kennedy versus Bremerton School District. So in this case, it involved a Christian public high school football coach named Joe Kennedy. He's an ex-Marine, and he was actually inspired by the Christian movie Facing the Giants to offer a prayer of thanks on the 50-yard line after every football game. So he would go out there, take a knee, and he never made any of his students come and join him. Sometimes they would because they wanted to, but he never forced them to. That's very important here. And this went on for like 4 years before somebody finally complained, and he got fired for it. So today, the U.S. Supreme Court held that, no, this man, you know, even when he, you know, goes to work for the state and local government, he still has free exercise rights and free speech rights that he does not surrender. So he gets to do that. Now, here's the thing. Here's what I think is the most important part of this case. The whole reason why he got fired and why the lower courts ruled against him was based on this idea of separation of church and state, which, you know, there's some truth to, but the problem is the left has really bastardized what that means over the last 7 years. It's ripped it away from what Thomas Jefferson meant, what the framers of the First Amendment meant, and it turned it into a monster that drives God away from the public sphere, which is not the intent at all. And so today, the U.S. Supreme Court explicitly held that it's bad precedents that have been driving that for about the last 70 years, at least the last 50 years, have now been abandoned. And the right way to analyze it is in light of history and tradition, which is exactly what originalism teaches. So it was a beautiful decision. And hopefully we can bring back things like non-coercive prayer in schools. We can bring things like, you know, the Ten Commandments back to public courthouses. And we can have nativity scenes outside the City Hall on Christmas without the ACLU getting their feathers all ruffled and scaring everybody off in a lawsuit. Hopefully all that stuff is coming back. We get the right to publicly acknowledge God, and it's fine as long as you don't force other people to go along with it. We've never tried that. We never will, but we do want to give God thanks in public. And hopefully now we can do that.
Well, that, you're right. It is amazing. It's amazing to watch this stuff happening and happening in our lifetimes and happening in 1 week. I mean, the very idea that this much can, I mean, I said earlier, and we'll get to a couple more cases that you're going to tell us about, but I said earlier on the other show that if Donald Trump did nothing, if he did nothing else except get these justices appointed so that we have a conservative court, he has changed the landscape of America. There's no doubt about it. And so anyway, wow, what an amazing thing to. Well, hey, we got about, ooh, I don't know, 3 minutes here, but two other cases. Real, I mean, there were more. There were multiple cases that I thought were significant, but there was two more you were going to tell us about. So hit us with one of those.
Okay, so the biggest of the two remaining is the gun rights case. That came down last Thursday. That's New York State Pistol and Rifle Association versus Bruin. And in 2008 and 2010, the Supreme Court ruled that the Second Amendment protects your right to own a handgun in the home. And that's great, but the question becomes, what happens when you need to take a gun outside? You know, maybe you're going through a bad part of town, and you need to carry for personal protection. Well, today, on Thursday, the Supreme Court finally answered that and says, yes, the Supreme Court, the Constitution does protect your right to carry a handgun for self-defense outside of your home. So I think the practical effect is that anything that is more restrictive than a shall issue concealed carry scheme is now unconstitutional. So that is a major win for the Second Amendment, and hopefully it's going to protect the right of law-abiding citizens to protect themselves against criminals, which, you know, that's just quintessential self-defense right there. I don't understand why that's controversial, but is. But fortunately, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of gun rights.
Well, you say that, but I think that most of what we're talking about right now are things that you and I and most conservatives call common sense. But nonetheless, here we are. It took a Supreme Court ruling to put it to rest. But all right, man, we got time for one more. What you got?
Quick bullet points on this one. Carson v. Macon. In this case, the Supreme Court ruled for the second time now that if public schools or if a state chooses to have like a voucher system to send your kid to a private school, then it cannot discriminate against religious schools if that's where the parents want to send them. They said you have no constitutional obligation to fund private schools, but if you do, you can't discriminate just because the school is religious. So that was a big win for free exercise of religion and for Christians having equal opportunity to participate in public programs like that.
Yeah, and the reality is, even though we didn't see it even come out of committee and get a good hearing before the body, there was a bill in the Alabama legislature this past session that would have been very similar to the one you're talking about that, had it passed, would have said Christian schools or private secular schools, you can't discriminate if those kids are taking tax dollars with them for the purpose of education. And that may come up again. We'll have to hope that the Alabama legislature gets on the ball with school choice and moves that thing forward. Hey Matt, that's a smorgasbord, man. That's a plethora of good rulings. So thanks for your time, bud.
Absolutely, thanks for having me on, Phil. By the way, Right Side Ruffian, Phil was the chairman of my board when we got involved in DOPS. He gave me the green light to go ahead and file a brief urging Rivers Wade to be thrown out. So be proud of your host. He had a hand in that.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate that very much. Shout out to you. All right, listen, Copper, go ahead and move us to the break. I'll come back and wrap some of that up. But isn't that cool? I mean, Matt Clark, Alabama Center for Law and Liberty, laying out for us just four. I mean, there were more than that, but just four of the major rulings that literally redefine the law in favor of conservative positions in the last week, y'all. 1 week. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We got more. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.